Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
I had about a million people send me this story, and I made a note. I made a point of writing down every single one of their names to the point where I was actually going through my email and all my other places I get messages and doing searches for a search term to make sure I got everybody here. So the search term was Carvana. And, you know, Carvana can't get out of their own way. I mean, they pop up in the news, and each story, it's the point now where a mere Carvana story does not hit my radar. I don't even, oh, Carvana's in the news again? It better be good. Oh, this one's good. North Carolina Army veteran buys a $68,000 Carvana car for his wife, but according to police, it was a stolen vehicle. So Lawrence Richard wrote this for Q13Fox.com. Widely reported, however, that a husband in North Carolina looking to surprise his wife with a new car for her birthday was the one who ended up being surprised when he found out months later the vehicle had been stolen, falsely advertised and sold to him, according to a report. The man is an Army veteran in Moore County. He spent more than $68,000 for a 2021 Maserati SUV from Carvana in November of 22. He then found out last month that the vehicle was not all that they thought it was. Carvana provided a statement to Fox on the matter saying, when Carvana acquired this vehicle, someone had taken sophisticated criminal steps to steal and alter the vehicle and were taking all the necessary steps to make it right for our customer in this rare instance. And by the way, that does happen. Most likely what happened was cloned VINs. So what happens is, as you probably know, you can walk up to a car, look in the window at the base of the A-pillar in front of the steering wheel and see a little VIN tag, and it shows the vehicle identification number. The VIN is also stamped other places on the car. Depends on the make, model, and all that stuff. So quite often, someone will steal a car and then grab the VIN tag off of a wrecked car or just make one up. But the point is that the VIN tag at the base of the A-pillar is the easiest one to fake. And so they fake that. And that's usually the one that people check when they're double-checking to make sure the title matches the car. So according to the report, the couple took their car to be serviced at a local Maserati dealership in February and learned from the facility the VIN on the car at the window and the door didn't match. The facility concluded the vehicle was a stolen 2017 Maserati. So not only was it stolen, it was a different year. So that's another problem. It was exciting for it to be coming down the hill, waiting for it outside. Everything was fine, the man told the outlet. But then mechanics inspected the vehicle, and that's when they found out the vehicle was stolen. And by the way, the year mismatch would pop up very quickly. I'm pretty sure the second they connect anything to the car to ask it how it's feeling, they're going to find out what year it is. When they checked the VIN on the chassis, that's when they saw that it was a stolen vehicle. The VIN on the car and on the window and the car door were different, he added. Police then seized and impounded the vehicle. So here's the problem. The man gives his money to Carvana. He gets the car from Carvana, and the police take the car. So now Carvana's got the money. The police have the car, and this man's got nothing, except he's out $68,000. So the man said he was questioned by police who let him go after he provided proof that he'd bought the car from Carvana. So his situation was not resolved. And apparently, he said when he called Carvana, she said, well, we can't trade the vehicle back in until you bring the vehicle back. I said, I can't bring the vehicle back. The police have the vehicle. And that's what happens with stolen property. The police will often take it back and then eventually return it to its rightful owner. Imagine that. So according to the outlet, the man provided the police report said the vehicle was impounded and demanded the return of his down payment and monthly payments. He has since gotten legal representation and is asking for $1 million in compensation from Carvana for financial and reputational losses. He's also seeking an apology. Interestingly, I'm not sure which he'll get first. But TV station reported Carvana responded to the man's lawyer, denying any prior knowledge the vehicle was stolen when it was purchased and apologized for his experience. So they have apologized, apparently. But here's the problem. Denying prior knowledge that the vehicle was stolen is irrelevant. I did a video not so long ago talking about the warranty of title. If I sell you something, I'm warranting that I have the right to sell it to you, that I am the owner of it. Or if I'm a broker, I've got the right to sell it for the rightful owner. But here, they clearly delivered to this man a vehicle that they did not rightfully have the ability to transfer title to. And it doesn't matter if they knew. That's why the warranty of title is much like the implied warranty of merchantability. They don't need to say, oh, by the way, we've got good title to this. Therefore, we warrant. No, that's basically built into this transaction. You go into a car dealership lot, they show you a car, or in this case of Carvana, you go on the internet and they show you a vehicle on your screen. Presumably, they have the ability to sell that to you with a good title. If they don't, that's their fault. It's not your fault. Who is in the best position, by the way, to protect this transaction from happening this way? All they got to do is look at not just the VIN tag on the dashboard, the base, the A-pillar, but look at it someplace else, especially on a $60,000 or $70,000 vehicle. You might think somebody could do that. I don't know. Just thinking out loud here. Company also said a customer advocate is working with the man to refund the money he had already spent on the purchase. He was also given a choice to use the funds to purchase a different vehicle from Carvana, of course. And the company did offer to give him $1,000 that he may use in any way he likes, $1,000. He said he wants the money back and for Carvana to take action to prevent such a situation from happening to future customers. He said, I know they say they have a 150-point inspection. I want them to have 151. Check to see if the vehicle is stolen. Last thing I want anybody to do is get caught late at night on some strange road in the backcountry and they can't verify it. They look at that person as a criminal. And that's the real question, is if you show up with a vehicle that somebody identifies as stolen, the first question they have is, how'd you get this car? Are you the thief? And by the way, he says they've got 150-point inspection. Oh, that's interesting. It's kind of like those CPO inspections. You got a 498-point inspection. Somehow they can accomplish that inspection in 30 seconds that it takes to drive the car from one side of the lot to the other. But another story altogether, I'm talking about CPOs in general, okay? Carvana, apparently 150-point inspection. Man says they should make it 151 to check to make sure the car is not stolen. Now, despite the ongoing litigation and other legal challenges in North Carolina and other states, Carvana celebrated its 10th anniversary last month. 10 years Carvana's been in business. The company boasts being an industry pioneer that makes purchasing a vehicle easier by allowing customers to complete the entire process over the internet. They also offer a money-back guarantee and home delivery. So money-back guarantee assumes that you can bring the vehicle back to them and that the police don't have it, apparently. So I should let you know a couple things. I mentioned the warranty of title, which is a big one there. Likewise, if your state has an Unfair and Deceptive Trade Practices Act, you can probably sue them under that and get your attorney fees paid. But I've handled cases identical to this, just not with Carvana. Local car dealer in Detroit sells my client a big vehicle. My client wakes up one morning and there's a brouhaha, a hubbub of some sort in his front yard. Goes out there and there's people from the Michigan State Police who have badges to prove that. And they're climbing around his vehicle that's parked in the front yard. And one of them climbs up from underneath it and says, yep, this is it. And they load it onto a flatbed and take it away. And they explain to him, they say, yeah, the vehicle you bought was stolen. And although the title you have matches the VIN at the base of the A pillar, the easy one that Mr. Steve Leto keeps talking about, it's the easiest one to fake, there are VINs stamped elsewhere on this vehicle that indicate this vehicle was in fact stolen and had a fake VIN tag attached to the dashboard. And that matches the fake title. And so what you bought from the dealership was in fact a stolen vehicle. So the cops take the vehicle, which are allowed to do. My client's now out the money. He's got more parking space in his driveway, but that's really not important to the story here. And so at that point, he calls the dealership who go, well, that's too bad. You should talk to the police about that. And so we filed a lawsuit. And the attorney from the other side comes in. He goes, Steve, he goes, your guy signed an arbitration agreement. He agreed to arbitrate any claims he had with the dealership. And in court, the judge said, yeah, Mr. Leto, you guys have got to arbitrate this. So we arbitrated the case. And I've had that happen before. My clients wanted to go to court, but they signed an arbitration agreement. Courts will often uphold those. No problem. We go to arbitration, and at the arbitration, I know things are going my way. We both filed arbitration summaries describing the case and the law and all that stuff. And I start talking, because often the plaintiff, who has the burden of proof, starts talking first. And the guy does one of these, and he goes to the attorney from the dealership. He goes, "Why are you defending this? Why are you defending this?" The guy goes, "Oh, my client wants me to." And the arbitrator goes, "But do you have any legal basis to not give this guy his money back?" And he goes, "Well, you know, we think that we're a victim too. And, you know, maybe we should third party in somebody else." And he starts talking about stuff that they could have done that they didn't do. And the arbitrator goes, "I think I know everything I need to know. I'll make a ruling. It'll be in the mail." And a couple days later, I get a letter in the mail from the arbitrator. And it is a ruling. And it says, "We find in favor of the plaintiff and we award the plaintiff and his attorney this much money." And it was actually more than I had asked for. And about 3 minutes later, my phone rings. It's the other attorney. And he calls me. He goes, "Steve, did you get the ruling yet?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "The arbitrator gave you more money than you asked for." I go, "Okay." He goes, "He's not allowed to do that." I go, "Wait a second. I believe arbitrators can do pretty much anything they want in Michigan, so long as it's not fraud or they weren't being like paid by somebody. I mean, generally speaking, they're given broad authority and it's not appealable like on the merits, because that's the whole point of arbitration is, you know, one and done, boom." And the guy goes, "But Steve, he gave you more money than you asked for." I go, "If he'd given me less, could I call you up and ask you if you'll bump it up?" Guy goes, "No." I go, "Guess what?" He goes, "So you won't stipulate?" I go, "No, I won't stipulate." I go, "That's an arbitration award. And I've fought enough of these in court to know that you ain't going to get that reduced." I go, "If you ask for a judge to reduce that, I'm going to ask for costs for you making us go to court on a frivolous motion." Guess what? He never brought the motion and his client paid the money. So my client got all his money back and a little extra. And I got my attorney fees paid. And some of that was actually in there for attorney fees as well. The arbitrator, I believe, spelled that out. It's been a while. But so I've seen these exact cases happen. They're very, very unfortunate. And I can understand how a dealership that's high volume might have this happen. Carvana, as we all know, is the highest of volumes out there. And so on the one hand, they're just buying and selling cars willy-nilly, and they're doing such a good job of it, they are a market leader. On the other hand, because they have such a high volume of cars, we hear about the problems they have, paperwork and so on. And this is akin to that. It's not just a paperwork problem. This is a more serious problem than that. And does Carvana have to put every single car up on a lift and find the VINs stamped into the frame rails to make sure it matches to the one at the A-pillar? I don't know about that. But maybe for a $70,000 Maserati, they ought to, you know, especially when it was the wrong year. It was off by 4 years. That's a problem. But again, that's something that would happen at a high volume dealer. If you traded in a 2017 Maserati, the dealership goes, "Hey guys, it's a 2021. They're going to spot that real fast. Carvana, not so much. So it looks like they're going to work something out here. I doubt the man will get $1 million for his troubles. But he's certainly entitled to get all his money back. And if he had to hire an attorney, he's entitled to get that money back also. Assuming that North Carolina has a fee-shifting statute that would allow that. So some states don't, some states do. But the North Carolina Army veteran buys a $68,000 Carvana car for his wife. Police said it was stolen and they seized it. So he's out the money and he's got no car. Q13Fox.com is who ran the story. Lawrence Richard wrote it. It was sent to me by the following. Steve, A.H., Donna, Rex, Edward, Mike, John, Chris, Baruch, Ken, Geroid, David, Denton, George, Hamad, Suze, Max, Ty, Tim, James, Brian, Neil, Skyler, and Fernando. That's everybody. Thank you very much. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Every path has its puddle.